greetings to each of you this morning as well, and happy Father's Day to all of you dads. Thank you, Harley, for your encouragement and things you had to say this morning. I think it's a very good introduction to Father's Day and even the sermon. And then the Sunday school was extra good this morning. Thank you to Phyllis. And probably going to spoil us. I heard somebody say we should do that a little oftener. So I don't know if that'd be a good idea, though. Probably not. But anyway, it's a blessing to celebrate this day as Father's Day for you that are fathers. And so I've titled a message today, and it's an honor to be a father. And I realize there are those that, for some reason, God chooses that they can't in their relationship as husband and wife can't have children. But I don't think that pertains to anyone here that I know of. So, and as I think of being a father, it's a, I was thinking back when we were first married and looking forward to being a father, and I know how I felt. I was so excited, I probably didn't show it, but within I was really looking forward to, wow, I'm going to be a dad. And I guess I didn't look beyond maybe the responsibilities necessarily that go with that, but just the idea that, hey, I'm going to be a dad. Somehow to me that put me in a different level. For whatever, but it was a good thing, a good feeling, and I've enjoyed that amidst the many failures, and thank you, Curtis, for what you said this morning, and I can say I love you and each of my children as well, and I know that you didn't hear that often enough growing up, and I could say a lot of things that I regret, and a lot of things I could have done better, I should have done better, but what's the point? We're here today, so let's go on. My encouragement is to you, as Dale said, if it was something you didn't like, it was a negative thing, then make it a positive thing in your life. You have that opportunity to change those negative things into positive things for your family. And I understand, and I know, many times we determine to do that. I'm not going to do what Dad did. But you know what? Too often, exactly what I do. I just follow right into the same footsteps. But we don't have to. We don't have to do that. With God's help, you can change that. I've enjoyed working and seeing you men and working with you at the thrift store. I think it's been good. It's been good for me. I think it's been good for all of us. And there aren't that many boys or sons that are there working with their dads. No, there are some. They're there. Some of them aren't working a lot. But they're there anyway. And others are that are older, they're working with their dad, Grant and Brock and Cameron, and hopefully I'm not missing anybody. Tristan was working well yesterday, and Logan and Carter, they do what they can, and the rest. And it's nice to see the interaction, and I like to see that, because it does something for us in our relationship. In working together. It's not just being in church together. You know, we put on our good Sunday best for church. But you know, when we're out there working, sometimes we see the other side a little bit. We still do pretty good, I think. But anyway, so it's a good thing. And I enjoy that. And I think it's a good thing to see men working with their children, just as these pictures depicted up here this morning. I don't know how in the world you got those pictures and got them together. That's a mystery to me. But anyway, somehow technology has a way of just happening, I guess. Anyway, So I want to look at first to Genesis 22, the account of Abraham and Isaac. And looking at Abraham and some of the things he experienced as a dad and as a father, even though it was late in life, and yet he was faithful in what God called him to do. I'm going to read the first 19 verses. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And just to stop there, the word tempt, we know that God doesn't tempt anyone, so I think a better word for that probably would be test, but that be as it may. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, a fire and a wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. An angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. An angel of the Lord called up unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men. They arose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Just a few thoughts there. As you think of Abraham in this situation, how would you as a dad have felt if you would have been in Abraham's shoes? It doesn't give us really any indication of the emotions or the questions or the thoughts that Abraham had or that Isaac had as such, except that Isaac asked a question, and yet it seems like he just left it okay. But is that, you know, I don't know. You can just imagine, think. They were normal people, I believe, but Abraham did have somewhat abnormal faith. I do have to recognize that. But he was willing to do what God asked him to do. This wasn't the first hard thing that Abraham had faced in his life and that he had to make a decision on. God told him, if you remember back early in Abraham's, and when his name was Abram, he told him to leave his family, go out to a land that I will show you. He didn't say, and he didn't draw a map, I don't think. But Abraham moved. He went to a place he didn't know where he's going. And then he was promised a son. As he said here, his seed's going to be more than you can number. If you can number the sand at the seashore, you could number your children. And Abram's like, really? I don't even have any children. How in the world is this going to happen? Well, then it ended up, he did have a son, Ishmael, with his wife's handmaid, Hagar. But God said, no, that's not going to work. That's not my plan. That's not what I'm talking about. And so there's Abraham, and he's getting older. He's getting to be an old man. It's like, no, I don't think so. How are you going to do? But within Abraham, I think he still believed it. Somehow, he believed it. God did the impossible and gave him a son in his old age because of his faithfulness. This was God's plan, and he did it. So if you're about 100 years old, don't worry too much. I don't think you're going to have any more babies. But, you know, unless God wants you to. Now, if God wants you to, you will. But hopefully he won't. Anyway. So, what it tells us here in this scripture is Abraham didn't withhold his son, his only son. After all, this is the only son. This is the only way that God, you're going to give me a heritage. How in the world is this going to happen if I kill him? And how could you do that? Well, God's not going to ask you as a dead to do that. I can assure you of that. But, because Harley read to us in Sunday school that God does not enjoy the wicked to perish or to punish the wicked. He would rather they repent because of his love and that they would draw and come to him. So God isn't interested in death, but he was testing Abraham. Do you really love me? Are you going to really obey me and do what I want you to do? God sometimes gives us tests as well to test us, our commitment, our faithfulness, our trust in God. Hopefully not to this point, but it could happen. So number one, can we as fathers release our children to God's care and use, even if we have other plans and desires for them? I've heard accounts of dads, mainly reading, that they had big ideas for their son, of being some well-known, whether it's a coach or something in sports or whatever it was, they had a goal that this is what their son was going to be because they probably had some natural tendencies and abilities. But it didn't work out. The son's interest wasn't there, and it really wasn't the plan God had for their lives, and so it didn't work out well. So some of us, sometimes we have great goals that we want for our children. We hope, and it's not wrong. I think we should have. We should steer our children, especially within the will of God. But allow them to hear from God themselves, to be able to make that decision as well. You that have younger children, maybe won't see it as quick now as you will later when your children get older. But you'll find out that really, after a certain point, you know, you just have to sort of open your hands and let them go. Let them decide. You no longer are you totally responsible. You can still give input and advice if you're asked. I think you should wait to be asked. Sometimes parents like to even steer their children after they're older and gone and have families. They still want to steer their children and tell them what to do. And it just doesn't work. Just doesn't work. So you have to let them go. But your responsibility is now, while you're holding them and they're sitting beside you and around your table, now is the time to train them, to teach them, and to help them, and to guide them. Then when they grow up, they have the tools. They have the foundation. They can make good choices and good decisions. Do they always? No. Unfortunately, no. But it's their lives. They have to account for that. So, be able and willing. There's a time in life to release your children to God's care, to God's will, what God would have you do, have for them. Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 3. I want to read verses 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. A number of years ago, Siloam Ministries, and I think they still do it as far as I know, yearly a men's seminar at Hartwell, Georgia. But this was a good many years ago, and I think Dale Snupp was there, and I'm not sure who else was. Simon Schrock, maybe there with him that time. Excuse me. But it was on the Becoming God's Masterpiece. I know Curtis and Calvin were there. I don't know if there could be some of you others would have been. I don't remember. But anyway, at the end of that seminar, he gave a time of for the fathers to pronounce a blessing on their children, on their sons. It was a men's thing, so it was on their sons. But I would open this to you as parents and dads for your children. The girls need a blessing as well. They need to know just as well as the boys that they are loved, they are cared for, and that they are that you're proud of them. Excuse that word proud, but I don't know how else to say it, to describe it. But you think a lot of them. They're precious because they're yours. And so as I look at this portion of scripture here and what Jesus, the words that John heard and that Jesus heard and the disciples heard it that were there, because we'll look at 2 Peter in a little bit. And it's just, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The NIV says, This is my Son, whom I love. Separates us just a little bit, and so I want to use that. As a second point, the first one is releasing our children to God's care and use. The second one is, This is my Son. You know, I don't remember ever hearing that, being with my dad as a little boy, and he being out somewhere and he's saying, This is my Son. I don't know. It could have happened. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. But just as you, as little boys, or you, maybe some of you, and it could be ladies as well, maybe you can remember. Maybe this happened to you. You were out somewhere with, could be your mom or dad, but especially your dad, and they told somebody, Yeah, this is my son, this is my daughter. How did you feel? Did it mean anything? Maybe you didn't even, it just went over your head and didn't really mean anything. I don't know. But when somebody would say that, if you would go out, and I think I know how I would feel today if I was a little boy, and somebody would say, Yeah, this is my son. You know, it's like, I'm proud of him. I think a lot of him. That's what Jesus heard from his father. This is my son. He wanted everybody around there to know, This is my son. I claim him. There's a sign of ownership that He is mine, and I'm not ashamed of it. He belongs to me. He's a part of me. Now I'll turn to 2 Peter and see what he has to say. Peter 1:17. Peter says, "For he received," talking about Jesus, "from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." And he goes on to the same time when in the Mount of Transfiguration, they heard this voice from God. But I believe, and maybe I'm reading into this ahead of time now, or something that's not there as I think of this. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, so maybe the disciples weren't there. But Peter says, "I heard that voice when I was with him in the mount." Anyway, and so he reiterates what Matthew is writing here about what God said when Jesus came up out of the water. "This is my Son. I claim him. I'm not ashamed of him." The third point is whom I love. It gives the picture of security and protection. Backing up to, I just want to say a little bit more about "this is my love." I overlooked something. It's just like when God the Father spoke those words, it's like those words are just dripping with love and affection for his Son. So you dads, when you introduce your son or daughter to someone else, do they sense that affection that you have as you introduce them? Whom I love gives security, it gives protection. Even in the midst of discipline, they need to know that you love them. And I know. That's a tough one a lot of times. It was for me. And I know that's one that probably will test you. I realize there are different, our makeups are different. There are some, and I've seen some, that are just able to sit down and talk in a calm voice and explain to their children and discipline them without their voice raising and a lot of emotion involved. I didn't always do that. And I'm sorry for that. And I know that that's a hard one. But I know that it definitely will go a lot further. If we can, in the midst of discipline, they can know that we still love them. I know that you need to discipline. And I would encourage you to do that. Because I believe if you don't do that, you really don't love them. I believe that. And as I think of this, let me go on to the next point. The fourth point is, in whom I am well pleased. Or the NIV says, with him I am well pleased. It's an affirmation. It's a positive declaration of his Son. I know that some of you, and I know there are many, many people in the world, and Ray mentioned about there are a lot of hurting people. And I think of the boys at the camp. And I don't think all of those are there because they're not loved. I don't believe that, because I think there is. But for the most part, in many, many cases, they didn't have a dad, or don't have a dad, or they've had many dads, and they don't know who their dad is, to love them, to affirm them, to tell them. They've probably never heard these words: "I love you. I'm proud of you. I am well pleased that you're my son." What a difference that would make in our culture, in our world today, if every boy and every girl had a dad that would tell them, "I love you." They would sense that security and that protection that every child deserves to have. It would make, we would not have half of the problems in our world today that we do. And yet you and I as Christians, where do we come in there? How good do we do at doing that as well? I encourage you, you know, I think a lot of us have heard words of, well, you're good for nothing. You can't do that anyway. Just the very negative phrases of telling us that really they don't, our parents, whoever it was, doesn't think a lot of us. It really hurts. If you ever heard that, it really hurts. And it's difficult. And I know for a lot of people, you work and you strive hard to show that person that, yes, I can do that. I am worth something. I'm not a nobody. But there's that stigma that rests and goes with us that we wrestle with until we come to grips with and give it to God to help him. But my encouragement is to you young dads today is to do this for your children. Bless your children today. If you've never done that, gather your children around and pray a blessing on them, that God would help them and let them know that and affirm them that you love them. They are special. No, there's other children maybe have abilities that are better than theirs, but that doesn't matter. They're your children, and you love them. And it doesn't matter how great others are or how maybe not famous, they won't be famous, but that's okay. They're still your children, and you love them. And they're better than anybody else. I remember at the seminar, as I began to say earlier, at the end, they had a time of the fathers and those that had sons there to come forward. And they had a, and I thought I had a copy of it, but I don't think I do, of the fathers praying a blessing on their sons. And I remember that was a very meaningful time. I don't know what Curtis and Calvin thought. And sorry, Alan and Susie, but I claimed Calvin as my son that day, and I still do. So I'll share him with you. But anyway, as I do all my sons-in-law, they are my sons and my daughter-in-laws and my daughter. I claim them that way. They're a part of the family. And so as we prayed a blessing and those that were there, it was a meaningful time to do that. And I thought about doing that this morning, but I don't think we will. But I would just encourage you to do this with your children so that they know. I'm assuming they know. Probably no doubt that they know. But just to verbalize that will do something for you. I believe it will. And it'll do something for them. And so, release your children to God's care and use. That's when the time comes. I'm not saying when they're 10 years old, but you'll know. Number two, this is my son. Be proud of him. Don't be ashamed of your children. Whom I love. They should know. They need to know that you love them. For their security and for their protection and for their provisions. And then number four, in whom I am well pleased, affirm them. I love you because you're my son or daughter. There's nobody better. It's a positive declaration that will help them in their emotional and their, psychological. I'm getting into a field that I better quit because I will say things I don't know what I'm talking about. But I believe in you, in your abilities. I know you can do it. Even if you can't, I still love you. You're still my child. You know what? Maybe you won't achieve. Maybe you won't be the best hitter hitting ball. Maybe not the best catcher. Maybe not the fastest runner. That's okay. I still love you because you're my child. It's not going to change. Let's stand. And I'm going to, I have a prayer of blessing. It's declaration of manhood, but for whatever it is, I'm going to read this as a closing prayer, and then we can have a song. You are, and this is to your dads, you are a man made in the image and likeness of God. You are being conformed in the likeness of Christ, and one day you will be like him, and you will be complete. As a man of God, you will be hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. As a man of God living in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. You are a man of God, and I declare this to be true in the name of God the Father, the God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Father, this morning we are grateful to you for the example that you gave us, in that you loved us so much that you sent your Son. And God, we are grateful for these words that are penned in our scriptures today, that we can read of your approval, of your affirmation of your Son and what he was going to do and his willingness to do that. Thank you, God, again for our fathers. And thank you for the fathers that are here today, especially of the smaller children. I pray that you would bless them with wisdom, with grace, with strength, and with direction as they guide these children to become what you would have them to be, the masterpiece that you have for them. And so bless them today. Thank you for all that you do, all that you are doing. Thank you for your faithfulness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing?
Sing, Children of the Heavenly Father, 130
in the Faith and Praise.